You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
If there was something positive that came out of the whole rancorous debate over Susan G. Komen Foundation and the canceling of their funding for Planned Parenthood, it was that there was an opportunity to talk about the necessity, the importance of screening and diagnostic treatments like pap smears and mammograms when it comes to fighting cancer, early detection. But for individuals with cancer, this is not political, it is personal. And whether one lives or dies, living with cancer is traumatic. Mary Elizabeth Williams has been very public about sharing her cancer story with readers of Salon.com. Last month, there was a breakthrough for her. After undergoing experimental trials for her metastatic stage 4 cancer, her doctor told her her tumors were gone. Within the cancer community, that makes Mary Elizabeth a survivor. But in her most recent article, she says survivor isn't quite the word, and she joins us this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be here. After this, I'm going directly to my penultimate treatment. So this is an auspicious day for me to be here.
It is okay for me to say that this is a celebratory day, right?
Yeah, you can call it celebratory. But you know, one of the things that I've been writing about is I think the notion of celebration is so different for people who are living with cancer and people who are watching them and want to celebrate for them on their behalf, because you're never fully out of the woods.
I guess that's something that people who are watching someone that they love battle with cancer, they would like that worry to be over.
Right. And as a friend of mine who's now 2 years out with breast cancer said, you never stop having had cancer. It never fully goes away. And I think of the word survivor as something that I would apply to someone who's a tornado has blown through your town. And if you're left standing, you're a survivor. But the thing about cancer is it's always there. It's always part of your life. You're always probably going to be going for treatments. After my regular treatment, I'll be in maintenance treatment. I'll be doing screenings for the rest of my life. So the idea that there's a moment when you can ring the bell and pull down all the confetti isn't quite accurate.
So how does a cancer patient deal with something which becomes, in a certain extent, a life sentence, that this is something that will be with you for the rest of your life, and to some hopefully small extent, define part of who you are?
Right. Well, I think the trick is figuring out how to change it from a life sentence to just a lifestyle and a life story. And all of the people I know who've experienced cancer, who are either living with it right now or going through treatment, yesterday I was paying a call on the family of a friend of mine who died a few days ago from breast cancer. You know, we're all dealing with it in different ways and experiencing it in different ways. And I think the main thing is just to see cancer as now being thought of as a long-term condition rather as something that you either endure and get better from or you die from. And a lot of us are going to be in this for a really, really long time. And that means we kind of have to pace ourselves with it and take a deep breath.
Although one could say that the term survivor could be an ongoing thing. I mean, you could be somebody who continues to survive something, right? I'm
sure.
Still standing.
And people call themselves abuse survivors or survivors of different things. And even though the event is in the past, you're still living with the effects of it forever. A friend of mine who started an organization for people who are post-treatment called wellagain.org says she prefers the term veteran, that you've gone off into this land and you've come back and you're different. And I said the thing about that is also, you know, you could be deployed again at any time. And I think that's the thing about cancer's veterans.
Although, is it wrong? I mean, my initial reaction when I got this great news about you was joy. I mean, I was elated. You're so worried about someone and you want the best possible outcome for them. But as you know, it doesn't always turn out that way. So when you see somebody get the best possible prognosis, that makes you feel happy. It's okay to express that to a cancer patient, right?
Oh, sure. I'm thrilled. And getting the diagnosis that my tumors were gone after having, you know, about a 10% survival odds for within a year, I'm thrilled. But many of us, and I include myself in this, I've been re-diagnosed. I had cancer and went through it a year and a half ago and was re-diagnosed. And the thing about cancer is there's always a possibility of recurrence, especially with cancers like mine, melanoma, my friends who've had ovarian cancer. You know, the you can celebrate in the moment and obviously be thrilled, but you also, there's always that cautious part of you that knows the other shoe could drop. And so you approach it with a little bit of skepticism as much as hope.
I wonder if the whole image of cancer as a battle to be won and then done, put in the history books, maybe that's dangerous for patients who maybe see it that way, who buy into that storyline, and then if they do get re-diagnosed, then that can be incredibly traumatic and just crushing.
I hear so many people, and I hear it in my support group, and I hear it from people who've responded to my stories. I did everything right. I went through treatment. I ate my vegetables. I drank my juice. And then I was re-diagnosed, and it made me so, so angry. And I feel so disappointed and so at a loss. And I think that's why it's important to remember that this is a long-term thing. And it's okay to feel great wherever you are, and it's okay to say, I'm happy. I'm at the end of a particular phase of treatment, but to also approach it with the feeling that, okay, you know, it may come back. I could do everything right. I may have done everything right before I got cancer. It's sometimes a very random thing, and it's not a mistake on the part of you or your doctors that this is just the nature of disease and of treatment.
So first of all, I mean, I have to say congratulations.
Thank you.
This is a happy day. As you said, you're on your way to your last treatment. What do you then say, your advice for the person who's just been re-diagnosed?
I would just say, what can I do? Or not even that, or just, here, I'm coming over with a gift certificate for a spa, or here's some groceries or whatever. And if you want to talk, you can talk. And if you don't want to talk, let's just go and see a dumb movie and just take it like that.
Dumb movies are underrated.
They're very healing.
Yeah, they absolutely are. Well, Mary Elizabeth Williams, you still have years ahead of treatment, correct?
Yes.
And check-ins.
Yep, for pretty much the rest of my life.
But still.
But I'm here, and I'm thrilled to be here.
For you and your family, this must be an incredible day.
It's amazing.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. You can read all that Mary Elizabeth Williams has written about her battle with cancer. She's a staff writer for Salon and author of Gimme Shelter, My 3 Years Searching for the American Dream, on her way to her last treatment for cancer.
Yay!
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.